Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we get into the Word, we're going to take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today and we thank you for another opportunity to come before you, Lord, to learn more of who you are, Lord, and how you desire for us to behave and go through this process, this time on earth. Lord, we thank you for the provisions and the protection that you provided for us, Lord, that we have everything that we need when we need it, Lord, in the condition that we need it. And we thank you for always being excellent in your work, Lord, and instilling that same spirit of diligence and excellence in us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're so glad to have you with us as we dive into the Word and continue our study in the book of James. And this morning we are still in chapter 2, covering verses 20 through 26. So, whether you're joining us for the first time or rejoining us, I want to encourage you to pause the episode and just take a moment to read through that section of Scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. And at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, promise.
Okay, so I would like to go to, well, I would begin with last episode. We were talking about how that when we extend our faith, God is able to come and meet us and actually justify us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord first brought me to verse 21, talking about Abraham. And I'm going to go through a little bit of scriptures, but the first one is Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Then we shall take a trip to Ephesians 2, 4 through 9 again. And then Job 1, 6 through 12, and Job 42, 12 through 17.
All right, let's go.
And Galatians 6, 9 through 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. Mm-hmm. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ephesians. And it says, But God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he may show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Then Job. And it says, now there is a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Mm-hmm. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And now to Job 42. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Kinza, the name of the third Karen Hapuk. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. No brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. Okay, so in all of these scriptures, if you bring them together, we can see that ultimately all of these people had to act on what their faith was. With Job, he couldn't just say, I'm righteous, and then, if we go back a little bit, it talks about how Job repented and actually came back, but he allowed the Lord to build him and guide him and actually allow God to grow him, which brings us to Ephesians 2:4-9. When we get saved, God gives us the faith to get saved. And then also afterward, our faith is demonstrated by how we act, which i.e. acting like a believer, acting like God actually died for us, as mm-hmm. though Jesus died for us, mm-hmm. and that we were bought with his blood.
Mm-hmm.
And then, going back to James. Wait, I lost my place.
That's all right.
Anyway, inside of James, all of these people, sure, it's good to have the faith, but if we don't actually apply it, God cannot actually come forward to meet us and show us what we need to do. For an example, if Dad was trying to give me a gift, but I just stood there, and I have to come to Dad to receive it and open my hand and grab it. Mm-hmm. I can't just expect Dad to grab it and then put it in my hands for me. Mm-hmm. At that point, it would violate God's character, as in trying to force humans to do what he wants us to do. Now, there's a difference between God going, you're going to do this, than God forcing the human to do it. It's already inside that person's purpose. No matter what they do, they're going to do that. And even in that, God gives them choice whether they're going to do it with God's help or whether they're going to be an example, as in whether or not God's going to be able to give them accolades, I should say, a reward for what they're doing. And also, God can only meet us if we don't have fear. If we have fear, that's just the same as being unsaved, because God can only give to us if we believe that it's good, which is inside of Hebrews 12, verse 6, talking about that when we come to God, we must believe he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so, in order for us to receive God's prize for our lives, we must actually believe the best about God. And as a result, God can actually move forward inside of our life and give us what we need to do his plan, as in what we need in order to be a willing participant in his plan and actually have a reward inside of heaven.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Glad you brought all that up, sir. It's important for us to understand that the Lord has, even before or while we were formed in the womb, that we were already given a measure of faith. But like Abraham, that faith has to be active, right? There are things the Lord has called us to do that's in the destiny track for our life that we must accomplish, right? The differentiating factor between Abraham and his father was what?
Abraham actually moved. He obeyed the Lord's commandment. Terah did not.
Terah exactly.
was complacent.
He settled.
Mm-hmm.
He started out, but he did not go or finish the journey. Did not go the full way with the Lord. And you can see that in Genesis 11, from verses 27 through the end of the chapter. And it gives the whole genealogy there of Terah's descendants at that point, at that time, mm-hmm. right? But then it gets to how he settled in, he came to Haran and dwelt there. That was it. That was the end of his journey. Where then in the very next chapter, in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord calls Abraham after Terah has gone home. After he's no longer in the land of the living here on earth. Mm. And the Lord says to Abraham, I've called you to be the father of many nations. You have to go to this land. I've called you out of Ur of Chaldea to go to a land I'll show you. So now, excuse me, Abraham had to, as we're talking about this, right? And continuing off the previous episode of our faith being made perfect. Excuse me. So off of our faith being made perfect, we have to continue the journey with the Lord the entirety of the way. Not taking our hand off the plow, not doing the work. Mm-hmm. The Lord said very, very plainly, take my yoke upon you, my burden is light, right? But there's also in that, there's a destiny track where he's already planned and purposed good works for us to fulfill, to accomplish for the Father's glory, as our Heavenly Father's glory, not Terah and Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. But for our Heavenly Father's glory. Mm-hmm. But will we do the works? Will we take that faith that we've already received and actually do something with it instead of leaving it or bottling it up where it has potential to accomplish so much, right? Isn't that what the Lord said? If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it will become the biggest thing, right? A mustard seed becomes the biggest plant. But he says, you'll also be able to say to this mountain, be moved from here to there, or some translation will say, be cast into the sea. Mm-hmm. And it will happen. So are we willing to trust the Lord to actually utilize the gift that he's given us, which is faith? And he gave it to us even before we knew we needed it, like the Lord does. That's his habit, his pattern. He gives us things to utilize for his glory long before we even knew we had need of it in our lives.
Yes, Dan.
So are we willing to do that?
Well, going back to what you're saying about Terah, Dad, and also something I said before, I'd like to clarify about Terah. If we, in receiving from the Lord and actually applying our faith, if we believe the Lord is out to seek do us harm, for example, going back to the when I said about if you had a gift, if I thought you had a knife behind your back, I'm not going to come close. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I went in my mind, as soon as I come close, I think I'm going to get it. Well, that's not true, but while you may have a gift and you have nothing behind your back, I'm still going to keep my distance.
And which as denotes there's a lack of trust. Right?
Yes.
So faith and trust are kind of used interchangeably often, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but what would result in a lack of faith, especially with our Lord, who's only good and perfect and only gives us good and perfect gifts?
A lack of knowing his character.
Mm-hmm. So that would mean in this example that you've given, right? But for every individual for their own, they have to look at their own perception of the Lord. And is it correct? Is it accurate? Or have they been misled by their own, I'll say, vain thoughts and imaginations instead of actually knowing their Lord and Savior? And you see, in a much lesser example, the relationship between children and parents, right? Do they truly know their parents? Do they understand their parents? And for the, I'll say on the whole, generalization, right? Children do not know or understand their parents. The parents know the children better than the children know themselves. The children do not know themselves and absolutely do not know or fully understand their parents and what their parents are providing. How can you understand if you don't know from someone who walk the way before you, right? You would say, anyone would say that'd be foolish. to take advice from someone who's never been to a place. Well, we know and receive it from the Lord, who knows all things. He's omniscient, knows everything. He's omnipresent, right? He's there to lead us and guide us. He's given us his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. So why would we not just listen, trusting him that it's for our good, and then obey?
Yes, Dad. And one thing that I wanted to mention about what we've been reading here in James and concerning our faith and the works aspect, something that you and Mommy tell us often, it isn't just about doing stuff, busy activity, because there's plenty of that going on, but it's putting your focus and your attention, your effort and your energy to completing the task God asked you to do. It's good, you know, on the surface, it's good to donate to charity or, you know, feed the poor or the homeless. But if that comes at the cost of neglecting your children that you've been made responsible for, there's a problem with that. The Lord gave you charge. And this is, you know, if you're a parent or something, gave you charge of those ones first. That's your flock. That's your shepherd or your sheep that you're supposed to be guiding, teaching and training. And to hand that over and give it to someone else isn't right. And that's something you told me, Mommy, in our off time in some of our private conversations, that you don't neglect us and cast us to the wayside to then go and attempt to help somebody else to fulfill the law and the commandments to, you know, be good to the widows and the orphans and the poor. That is a violation of what the Lord said, and he gave you charge over us to and told you and Dad to care for us. So you care for us first, and then after your obedience is fulfilled and after you've done everything God asked you to, then you go out and you do those things. And that's the same thing with our faith and what we're supposed to be doing in the work site as well. You do what God asked you to do first, and then you go out and, you know, do extra, if you will. Go out and do the other things that the Lord is asking you to do. But there is a ranking and a priority in what he has tasked each and every one of us to do. And it's up to us to adhere to that and understand why that's in place and what the purpose of it is, so that we use our faith effectively. Because sure, you have all the faith to move a mountain, but if you use it in the wrong place, what are you left with? And if you're not spending time to build that faith up and make it stronger and refill that faith canister, what are you going to have when you need it? When those really tough times need it, when you actually need that mountain to get out of your way so you can get to the provision God has for you on the other side, you will be empty-handed and you will not have what you need because you spent it somewhere else that it was not intended to go. And that also ties to the hope that we have. That's our target for our faith. So you put it on the wrong target. You wasted your arrows and your arrow holder. I forgot what the name of it is at this exact moment.
A quiver.
Thank you, Mommy. The quiver. You wasted all your arrows in the quiver on a target or on a, you know, entity that didn't really need to waste it on, didn't really need to use it on. And there's something else that I want to talk about concerning this, but we'll probably have to like catch it on the next episode. But a preview is in 2 Kings, I believe, on Elisha's deathbed. The king came to him and was crying over his face, and Elisha told the king, I believe it was the king of Judah, maybe a king of Israel, a king of Israel, thank you, promised to grab the arrows and to shoot it out the window and then to take the arrows and strike the ground. He did it 3 times. It wasn't the right number. He should have done it 5 or 6, and he would have struck the Syrians till they were destroyed. But I want to tie that to what we're learning in James. Let me get there for just a second. But in the interim,
I definitely want to hear about this, but I'm afraid we're not going to have enough time.
Oh, we can cover it in the next episode, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can do that.
But you had something that you still wanted to discuss for this?
One more thing. This goes to the preview, though. And about our target and our faith, the Lord is the one who sets the target. It's the Lord who says, okay, this is where I want you to shoot. And then we go and do. And you're going to see that with Elisha and the king of Israel when we pick it up tomorrow.
Okay, that's exciting. Right. I'm looking forward to that.
Amen. Well, there's a lot in there. So let's pause there for today, and we'll resume with what the Lord has for you, or is showing you and speaking to you tomorrow. How about that?
Okay. Amen.
All right. Can I get a volunteer to close out in prayer, please?
That would be me.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for the time and the word this morning, Lord, and we thank you for the goodness that you've shown to each and every one of us, Lord, the faithfulness, the loving kindness, and the compassion. We ask that you will continue to extend that to our partners and listeners, that they are well, Lord, that they are sound, they're healthy, they have everything that they need when they need it, Lord. We ask that you'll set our target for us, Lord. Show us where we're to go, what we're to do, Lord, and we thank you for being master over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.